We're back. You're listening to Money Talks. I'm Troy Harmon here with none other than Jarrett McKenzie and Jacob Keene. Talking about all things financial.
It was a good choice right there coming back in. I'll tell you, Troy. It took me right back to Daytona Bike Week.
Well,
94.
You still got a... Oh, that's not a helmet you're wearing. That's
Big head. Oh, no. Yeah, of course.
I'm sorry.
They make helmets in that size?
No, they don't. That's special order. I don't need many of them, you know.
He's got a helmet, but it's got stretch marks on it. I don't know why. So the question is from Glenn from Kennesaw. Says, should I make a non-deductible IRA contribution? I'm covered by a 401k at work, and I make more than $135,000, so a Roth IRA is out too. So what do you say?
Technically, a Roth may be out. However, the IRS code does allow for what we refer to as a backdoor Roth contribution. And if you don't have any other IRA dollars or money in a traditional IRA, then you would be eligible actually to make this non-deductible IRA contribution. And I would actually recommend, it's a pretty good idea if you are young and do have the 401k potential through your employer, to go ahead, if you've got the income as well, and make that non-deductible contribution to an IRA, but then immediately convert it to the Roth IRA. So that is going to, you know, obviously allow those dollars to then be in a tax-exempt account and grow in that same manner. So the fact that you can still get those dollars into the Roth, I would say, is worth doing the non-deductible IRA contribution. Otherwise, you run into a case where if you make non-deductible IRA contributions and keep them in an IRA, well, now you're going to have some basis in the IRA because those are after-tax dollars, and then you'll probably have, you know, if you were to roll that 401k over, Glenn, you're going to have tax-deferred dollars, so now there's different treatment of the dollars within your account, and that can make it difficult when you move employers or, you know, want to move the funds around at all. So I would say that it is very sensible if you're going to do that Roth conversion, and if you don't have any other IRA dollars, definitely consider it.
And with our new tax laws, that Roth conversion is a forever thing, right?
That is correct. Now, you cannot recharacterize, so if you were to do that now, just know that you cannot recharacterize those dollars and go back like you used to be able to, but the Roth conversion is still allowable, and so it's still a really good option to consider.
Yeah, the backdoor Roth. All right, Jacob, it's we've heard a lot out of Jarrett during this last segment, so why don't you and I talk a little bit about question from Joseph from Woodstock. And before we get into that, if you would like to contact us, you can give us a call, 770-429-9166. That's Hensler Financial, Dr. Gene at Hensler.com, D-R-G-E-N-E at H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R.com. You can also call our question hotline, 1-855-429-9166. Leave your recorded message, a question for us to answer on the air, and we would be happy to do that for you. So Joseph from Woodstock says, I own Micron Technology. Some analysts say it's down 18% by more. Others are saying that the trade war is going to affect the stock. What do you recommend? I really believe that part of this is trade-related. 51% of the company's revenues are sourced from China, so you know that it's going to be impacted. They're not going to get away without some sort of pain. When it comes to technology, old man Trump's been talking a lot about that, and especially the Chinese buying our technology companies. Now, I don't think that's any part of what might be on the table, but what do you think, Jacob?
Well, they did have a recent IP trade dispute, however you want to phrase it. It looked like it was a little bit of like tit for tat with another Chinese company. Basically, it looks like moving forward with the settlement of that dispute, it only threatens about 1% of revenues.
Okay.
So if obviously it's a little unsettling as an investor when you feel like you're in the crosshairs as, you know, a potential chip in, you know, the trade fight between the U.S.
Sure.
and China.
Yeah.
The other thing just contextually that I would say, I mean, you look at a Micron or Western Digital, some of these storage type plays, they're very cyclical, and that you hit that enterprise upgrade cycle, you know, folks are buying more more servers, et cetera. Sure. It's very cyclical. And you look at like the 52-week range. I mean, this thing is more than doubled in the past year. So it's tough to root it in a valuation due to the cyclicality. I mean, you're looking at a PE ratio right now in the trailing 12 months. It looks absurd at 5 times. But yeah. But again, this is the sort of company that knocks the cover off the ball 1 year and then the next year.
Yeah, you got to wait. Got to be patient rough. If you're going to own it. Yeah, and to that point, when I look at earnings, they're really volatile.
Exactly.
You know, they do real well for a short period of time, and then, like you said, you know, you might have to wait for a long time. But and in technology, man, it doesn't take long to become absolutely obsolete. So you can't rest when you're sitting there waiting on that cycle to turn back to you. You have to continue to try to provide the market with solutions that are cutting edge.
Right, and it's with a business model like this, it is tech, but it's largely commoditized in my view. If you're talking, you know, DRAM, you know, the storage type business. Everyone's basically got the same sort of product.
Sure, yeah. Not one is more efficient than the other.
Right.
And, you know, they all take about the same amount of power to run them and the same storage capacity and all that stuff. So you're absolutely right. It's hard to delineate one from the other. I would say I'd avoid it at the moment.
Yeah, I'd say if you've been holding for a while, I mean, you got a nice gain there.
Sure,
you
know, yeah. Rebalance.
Look elsewhere.
Yeah. All right, here's another one, Mark from Loganville. And Jarrett, you don't have to keep checking your emails.
I mean, you can I was just drinking some water. I was parched from all the contribution I made previously. So.
Oh, is that it? You're recovering?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's good. I hope you're not dehydrated.
Refreshed.
You're looking a little bit.
Oh, no. I don't get dehydrated.
Okay, no. Good. How about Mark from Loganville? He says, is Alibaba still a recommended pick? I remember you touting it maybe 2 years ago. Wasn't it the Amazon of China? Well, answer to that question. And by the way, the ticker symbol here is Baba, B-A-B-A. It was the Amazon, is the Amazon of China,
Amazon.
No doubt. Still just growing like crazy. If you look, the trend is a little bit negative, but analysts expect it to continue earnings growth over 26% going forward.
There's a lot of strategic action there. I mean, if you look at the top line, the revenues are growing. They're expected to grow about the same rate. But
sounds a little familiar. Maybe it is the Amazon of China.
we expect you know, some margin compression here, because actually, if you look at what not only Bob is doing, but JD.com, even Tencent, they're actually moving into physical store locations now. They've been acquiring. I mean, think like convenience stores, stuff like that.
Sure.
They're trying to move towards.
First, you kill that business, and then you become that business. Is this the way you do it?
Right, but to me, it's you think China and you think emerging market. You know, this is a very attractive space, but it looks like the sort of strategic moves of a business that realizes that their core cash cow is maturing. They're not going to be able to deliver the same growth as they used to. And I actually looked at e-commerce penetration in China relative to the U.S. It's actually higher. So there's more people buying their things online in China than in the U.S. So if you have this perception that it's like, all right, Alibaba's not really
just getting started
yet.
Yeah,
it's not that. They've expanded into other Southeast Asian countries. They're buying up these physical locations. Obviously, it's a great growth story, but again, can you justify a 50 PE?
Well, I totally agree with that, but there's
and you want China exposure at this point, really? I mean,
yeah, that'd be
right.
My concern.
So China exposure, in my opinion, is a little off the table. But at the same time, we still have those issues. Look, you can buy Baba; it's traded on the U.S. exchange and under the ticker symbol BABA. But you go and look, and I don't find a parent company for the American depository receipt.
Well, they have that weird structure where it's like a Cayman Island ADR.
Yeah, so you're not really buying a company directly in China.
No.
You're buying on, You know, it's the structure is just unbelievably strange to me. And let's face it, do you trust all the numbers you get out of China?
No.
I mean, and that's the thing. That's the problem. I mean, I'm still sitting here looking. I saw a thing this morning saying that Chinese GDP growth still set for 6.6%. I might be able to believe that, but when I get down to specific company results, especially when they don't have to report them in their home country,
right?
It just baffles me. How in the world can we trust all the information that we get from them?
I know typically you compare the price to earnings, you know, within between companies within the same sector. Do you do that still with companies that are, you know, in different continents? I mean, because they're in similar businesses, are they still compared the same way, or might they be? I mean, if we were comparing Amazon's PE to Alibaba's PE, then is that something that would be proper or appropriate comparison?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Amazon versus Alibaba, even at 50 times on earnings, it looks
cheap.
Better than Amazon.
Yeah, but Amazon's at 267.
And
today.
I think part of that is the doubts that I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah. People are paying one-fourth as much for the earnings of Alibaba than they are for that of Amazon. But really, that's the risk.
It's the country risk premium. You think about some of these emerging market countries, you're not even sure if the government's going to seize the assets of the business.
Well,
you know,
that's true.
We've seen
just
that
about,
happen.
Just so, about yeah. every company you that you would find in China, the government owns a portion of, too. So, I still have my doubts about just how solid the numbers are, how trustworthy they could be. But, you know, if you look at the results, it's hard to argue with them, except for the fact that, you know, you can't necessarily trust the numbers.
Yeah.
All right, guys, what do you think about the market this week? What do you say, Jacob? We're going to go up, we're going to go down. It was good last week.
I think up sounds good.
Yeah, right. It's going up from here.
All right, I say up every week. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.